The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast in association with Boyle Sports. You join us in a weekend packed with sporting action with the Masters, the F1 and the big match on Sunday between Liverpool and Manchester City. But of course, here on the Postcast, all eyes on Aintree for the Saturday card, where the highlight there is none other than the Grand National. I'm joined by three superb guests to look at the action at Aintree. Racing Post, Graham Robway and Mark Boylan, along with Boyle Sports' very own Leon Blanche. Leon, it's a huge weekend for bookmakers up and down the country. How are things looking at Boyle Sports?
Yeah, look, it's a fantastic weekend. It was like winter yesterday, but I don't think there's much rain due for the next couple of days. It's a huge weekend, and I think Aintree have done a marvellous job in terms of upping the standard of racing that kind of fills in around the main event, which of course is the Grand National on Saturday. Really looking forward to the Grand National this year. I think it's a quality lineup. My own fancy, Longhouse Poet. I think he could run a huge race. We'll talk about the National. But yeah, look, it's a brilliant festival. I think when you've got Cheltenham, Aintree, then you've got Fairy House, then you've got Punchestown. These festivals are so close together. National Hunt fans are absolutely spoiled. So really looking forward to the next couple of days racing.
Yeah, and Graham, like Leon just mentioned there, with regards to the quality card we have around the National itself, you know, we've got some top-class action on Saturday from the track.
Yeah, it's a great meeting, isn't it, Sam? It's every year we always look forward to these big spring festivals, don't we? Cheltenham, Aintree, and then of course Punchestown coming up in a couple of weeks, and you get the real cream of the crop turn up. And this week at Aintree in particular, you get a lot of the best British horses running. So yeah, it's going to be a fantastic day, isn't it? Grand National Day always is every year.
It really is fantastic. And Mark, I'm guessing plenty of work's gone in your end to try and find us the winner of this year's race. Hopefully later on in the Postcast, we can find our listeners a winner or two.
We're trying our best anyway, yeah. First day I know was tricky in some little spots, but a couple of bright spots here and there at the same time. So, no, really can't wait to get stuck into it.
Yeah, and we'll be previewing the National in detail in the second part of the Postcast. But during the first part, we'll look around all the races other than the National. We'll kick things off with the 145. This is the EFT Construction Handicap Hurdle over the extended 3 miles, the Grade 3. The market's currently looking like this with Boyle Sports. Winter Fog is your 5-1 favourite. Serious Charge is 15-2. Beauport 8-1. Third Win also 8s, along with Remastered and Party Business and Double Figures. Bar these. Graham, as I say, it's looking like an open-looking contest here. Who would you side with?
A very difficult race to start with, Sam, isn't it? Every year, this 3-mile handicap hurdle. I quite like one at what looks like it's going to be quite a good price, I think. Jaffroy for Laura Morgan, I think is the trainer's name, and Adam Wedge. This horse has got some decent form. He was second in this race last year behind Hometown Boy, beaten 3 lengths. And he's running off the same mark here, having run only 3 times since. He went up £4 for finishing second here last year. He's been campaigned entirely over fences since, with very little success. But I find it hard to believe that once he was well beaten at Ascot, they didn't think to themselves, well, you know, we'll put chasing back on the back burner now, and of course that will retain his novice status for next season, and have another go at this race at Aintree in which he was second last year. And he stays very well, Jeffrey. I remember him winning one day at Exeter where he was right out the back and being scrubbed along and stayed on really strongly. Course form, I think, at Aintree can be particularly important. We saw that on Thursday with, of course, Clanders Oboe just looking like a completely different horse once he got on the flat track. And Miller's Bank was another one who had really solid course form over hurdles at the track and then really bounced back to form over fences at Aintree. And I like the fact that he comes in with that solid run here last season under his belt. And I think that he could run a big race. That's Jeffroy, number 3.
Jeffroy, Adam Wedge takes the ride there. Looking around, I think 14-1 currently with Boyle Sports. Leon, a 22 runner field, I think we've got here. And the betting with yourself, so, you know, that they're 5-1 the field. I just think that potentially there's some strong each way money to be had here.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a race that bookmakers love. I think you're going to lay probably half the field in this particular contest. I don't know. I think Winter Fog, I know he's, I mean, he's up towards the top end of the market. The mistake at the last at Cheltenham didn't really help him, but he still finished fourth. I mean, he was only beaten 3.5 lengths in the pretemps. And I'm just thinking that maybe we haven't got to the bottom of him just yet. I think the better ground will suit. I think the flat track actually might help him as well. Look, I mean, he was second at Leopardstown, wasn't he? In the pretemps trial at Christmas time. And that was a really, really good race. It was a very strongly run race, and it was a good run by him to finish second. I think there will be plenty of pace here. Stamina won't be an issue. And I just think Winter Fog, I know people will be saying, oh no, here's a bookmaker going for one of them up the top end of the market. But I just feel this horse, he's got a big one in him. He's been knocking on the door. He was obviously fourth last year at Punchestown to Lifetime Ambition when he was a huge price. I mean, he was a 50-1 chance there before he changed hands and was trained now by Emmett Mullins. But I just think this horse has got a big one in him. And maybe, just maybe, this could be his day.
Mark, Leon siding with Winter Fog, a horse who in the pretemps looked like he was coming with a strong run. He ended up finishing fourth that day, and he refaces the winner in third win, who's been raised, I think, £5 for that win in the pretemps. Would Winter Fog be your idea of the winner here?
Oh, I'm very, very tempted by him, to be honest. And watching it on the day in Cheltenham, I nearly thought he didn't quite stay. But I watched it back again. He actually does keep rallying, in fairness to him, because that would have been my concern going to Cheltenham, that he wouldn't quite get the 3 miles. But you know, there is an argument to be made that he could really enjoy this more. Yeah, look, he's high up on my shortlist, but in terms of prices, I just thought there might be a little bit of value in if the cap fits. Now, look, I know he's not probably the force of old, but his handicap mark reflects that. He was sixth in the pretemps, ran quite well, I thought, under Ben Bromley, claiming seven. Gets Daryl Jacob back on board here. You know, you can make the case here, we talk about course form with Graham's selection. This horse has won previously. He's won the Liverpool Hurdle. He's been fourth in the Grade 2 bumper at this festival previously to Layla as well. You know, second to Brewing Up a Storm here in November. Like, I think Aintree brings out the best in this horse. And, you know, down to a mark of 137, he's kind of thrown flashes there during the season that he could be willing to threaten off this sort of mark at some stage. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it all just clicked for him here. You know, in comparison, his form at Cheltenham isn't quite as good. You know, it's not a case with massive conviction, but, you know, at 20-1, when you're getting 5 places each way, I think I'd nearly rather back him each way than have a cut at Winter Fog from a win perspective. Just, you know, handicap-wise, even his Winter Fog might have a little bit more to come, but he still needs to prove that he does at the same time. So I'll take a flyer on a horse with the proven class. For all that, now a 10-year-old, his best days are probably behind him rather than ahead, if the cap fits.
Okay, if the cap fits, 20-1 for Mark with 5 places with Ball Sports. Leon's with Winter Fog and Graham with Geoffroy. Let's move on quickly to the second race. This is the 225. This is the Mersey Novices Hurdle, Grade 1. Over 2.5 miles. Free Stripe Life, your Ballymore second, is 5-2 in here. Walking on Air, 7-2. Good Risk at All is 7s, along with LA Bell. 15-2 about Colonel Mustard. 8-1 about North Lodge and Stage Star, and double figures bar these. Leon, as I mentioned, the Ballymore second's back in action here. He was a clear second in the Ballymore 2, Sir Gerhard, but he probably sets the standard.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, Sir Gerhard was he was an effortless winner, wasn't he? But looking down through this particular race, I think there's a bit of value here in Colonel Mustard. I like this horse. I was trying to pick between the two of them. It was either Good Risk at All for me or Colonel Mustard. And I've probably just gone with Colonel Mustard, trained by Lorna Fowler. I think the value is there. I think around about 8 or 9 to 1 at the moment. Very, very good run in the county hurdle, which when I look at it, State Man for me, it was definitely a Grade 1 horse in a handicap without a shadow of a doubt. And he's only been beaten 3 lengths by State Man. And I think that's a really, really good run. You're always a little bit worried about horses coming from Cheltenham to Aintree. But this horse also ran a blinder behind Sir Gerhard at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival when he finished third that day. So I just think at the value, I think there is a little bit of value still in Colonel Mustard at around about 9-1. It's an open looking race. I don't think there's any clear standout horse in this particular contest. And that's why I'm going for a little bit of value with Colonel Mustard.
OK, And Leon with Colonel Mustard, the county third. Actually, the money's already down, Leon, currently 15-2 at the time of recording with yourself. So a lot of people potentially fancying this horse. Graham, with regards to the Henderson horse in here, obviously, I think we were expecting to potentially see him in the Ballymore. We didn't see him there, but very much a talking horse before Cheltenham. Now coming into Aintree, it's probably the surprise package potentially in here.
It could be, Sam. Yeah, I actually backed him anti-post after he won that day at Newbury. I thought he was wildly impressive over 2 mile trip, which definitely wouldn't have been ideal for him. He went round there on the bridle. His Damn Refinement was a very good horse who won a 3 mile grade one at Punchestown Festival. So walking on air is definitely going to improve for the step up in trip. My issue here is the price on him. He's a very short price for a horse who's achieved very little. I mean, the horse that he beat at Newbury, he could be the one. He's okay, but he isn't anything special. And of course, he was beaten in his bumper by Shall We Have One More of Gary Moores, who was a decent horse, but not top class. So I just 4-1, I just couldn't be having walking on air at a price. I mean, I priced this up myself, and I had Colonel Mustard almost joint favourite, you know, so I would have to be backing Colonel Mustard at around about 15-2, 8-1. He's very, very closely matched with Free Stripe Life, who of course beat him at Leopardstown. But I thought that last time out, Colonel Mustard had put in an improved display, finishing so close up behind State Man of First Street in what I think was a really strong county hurdle. They're putting the hood on first time to ensure that he settles over the longer trip. I think a lot of nonsense gets spoken about horses who will, you know, may or may not stay. I mean, I just think that most 2 milers get 2.5, and we saw that with Epiton. You know, and I know she was a bit keen, but you know, these races, when they go only going up half a mile in trip, a lot of them are quite slowly run, Sam. So when they're slowly run, speed comes into it at the end. And Epiton absolutely flew home, didn't she, on Thursday? And I think Colonel Mustard could do the same here.
Yeah, Epiton was very impressive on the Thursday. Very interesting. Leon and Graham both going with Colonel Mustard around 15-2. Mark, are you going to be siding with the top two in the market?
I'm actually going to make it a hat-trick for Colonel Mustard. I think he's going to take a proper chance here now. Like, I mean, overall, the lads have made the case very well for him, but I found it difficult to split himself and walking on air. But in terms of experience, it just weighs it for me. Like, in a race like this, walking on air is open probably to greater improvement because he's so much more unexposed. But, you know, I just think Colonel Mustard has a lovely profile. Even, like, he had effectively his second season as a novice hurdler. Like, this time last year, he was heading to Punchestown and he was, you know, chasing home echoes and rain in a grade one novice hurdle. I just think that gives him a fair edge. And at the prices, I find it very hard to kick him out of the first three. I think he's a cracking each way bet. You know, walking on air, I have respect for. Three Stripe Life is a horse coming into this season that probably would have been one of my kind of bumper horses, novice hurdlers, that I was most excited about. But I'm not saying I've been disappointed because he's ran fine. But I just think he's looked as though he has a little bit of a level. Now, maybe the level is good enough to win a grade one here. He ran a cracker at Cheltenham. But tough race that was on soft ground. That was turning even softer. I think Colonel Mustard makes loads of appeal. Ground should be okay for him as well. He's not too dependent, but I'd say the nicer side of it would suit him for all he won on Saturday Galway. Hopefully Colonel Mustard can do the trick for the three of us.
There we go, a hat trick for Colonel Mustard at 15. So I actually quite like him as well. So a fairly confident selection from the panel here. Let's go on to the third race. It's the 3 o'clock. This is the Margall Novices Chase over 2 miles, the grade one. Edward Stone leads the market at Ball Sports at 8-11. Then we've got Gentle to Me 5-2, Third Time Lucky 5-1, and Much Bigger the other four. Look, Graham, Edward Stone, he's obviously short in here. I've actually got this horse pretty wrong all season. I've kept trying to take him on, but it's fair to say now he's put up an impressive performance in the Arkle, and he's probably going to be difficult to beat here.
Yeah, this Edward Stone is by far the best 2 mile novice chaser in Britain and Ireland, and he's proved it all season. He jumps very well. He's very, very versatile. You can stick him anywhere in a race. He's got a very good turn of foot. He's very tough. He's absolutely bomb-proof, Edward Stone, and he will definitely win this race, provided he's not feeling the effects of a long season, of course, because he has been on the go since early November, and I think this will be about his 6th or 7th run of the campaign. Having said that, I mean, I my own ratings on this race, I have him £17 clear of anything else, and he's only £3 clear on RPRs, on BHA ratings. RPRs have got him a lot further clear of Gentleman de Bay. His main danger in arrival, they've got him £7 clear. If I trust in my own ratings, I think Edward Stone could afford to be nearly a stone below form here and still probably win. So there's no way I could be taking him on at odds on. I won't be backing him because he's too short, but I don't really back at odds on. But, you know, if you like punting horses at odds on, Edward Stone, for me, would probably be just about as good as you're going to get in this race. I think he's in a different class again.
He is a short price at 8 to 11. Mark, we can probably make this quick. Will it be Edward Stone for yourself?
I mean, it's a no-bet race for me, to be honest. Not probably what you want to be hearing on a preview podcast, but I think this is much, much closer than Graham is making out. Gentleman to me is a proper horse. You know, I thought start of the season that he was probably Willie Mullins' best handicapped hurdler, should say. You know, and coming into it, he's progressed with racing. I know the form of what he's beaten in his last two starts hasn't been out of the ordinary, but he's still beaten Black and Blue. He's a proper horse. You know, I think he'll give Edward Stone a race. But do I fancy him strongly enough to beat a horse that's shown loads of quality in an Arkle? I can't be strong enough. It'll be a no bet race for me, but if you had to put the gun to my head, I might even just side with Gentleman to me at the prices.
Gentleman to me, certainly one who could take on Edward Stone, but a no bet race there for Mark. Leon, just quickly, is it going to be a no bet race for yourself, or is it something at bigger prices?
No, I mean, listen, like, I concur with what Mark has just said there. I think Gentleman to me is a very, very good horse. However, I think Edward Stone is just a little bit of class. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant in the Arkle. Forecast for me, Edward Stone to beat Gentleman to me. But I think Gentleman to me will give Edward Stone plenty to think about. But I just think Edward Stone, he's just in a different league at the moment over 2 miles. He's absolutely, he's brilliant. His jumping is just, and the way he jumped the last at Cheltenham suggested to me that there was plenty left in the tank. So for me, Gentleman to me, to chase home Edward Stone.
Yeah, fences have really seen this horse step up, haven't they? And he looks like the star performer in here. Let's go on to probably one of the highlights of the day away from the National. And this is the 3:35. This is the Liverpool Hurdle, a grade one over three mile, half a furlong. And core gents, this looks a cracking contest. I genuinely feel that, you know, any of these could probably go and win this. It wouldn't be a shock to see any of the top three in the market. And that's Flooring Porter 7-4, Time Hill 11-4, and Champ 7-2. We've got 10-1 bar those with Ball Sports. Leon, in terms of a race, I'm not sure sort of how we're going to try and get Flooring Porter beat, but if he goes off in front and settles, he's going to go and win this, isn't he?
Well, I mean, listen, I think Danny Mullins, a lot of people have spoken about the ride he gave him at Cheltenham, and it was absolutely top class. However, I think looking at the likes of Thine Hill, Champ, Sire de Burleigh, who's going to take him on? Who's actually going to put Flooring Porter under pressure? That'd be my big worry for all these horses who are trying to defeat the Stayers Hurdle champion. Danny's brilliant from the front. He gets the fractions absolutely spot on. You'd be hoping that something, if you were going to take him on, that they might try and get to him a little bit earlier than they tried to do at Cheltenham. Because if you let him go to the front, which I think he will, and you let Danny dictate it for as long as he did at Cheltenham, I think the result is going to be the exact same. I don't see anyone getting past Flooring Porter. It was a brilliant performance at Cheltenham. Let's not forget, in fairness to Flooring Porter, bar that farcical start at Leopardstown, he would have beaten Classical Dream that day as well, in my opinion. He was only beaten two lengths, and I think Paul nicked about six or seven at the start at Leopardstown over Christmas. He was absolutely bomb-proof at Cheltenham. He won by 2 3/4 lengths to Thyme Hill, but he done it easy. There was plenty left there, and I think favourite backers will get stuck into Flooring Porter. I just don't see any horse in this particular lineup taking him on up front, and that's going to suit the favourite.
Yeah, Leon with Flooring Porter in here. Mark, Time Hill, last year's winner of this race. Yeah, if we take out the O'Toy run, he's been fairly consistent and putting decent runs this season. Do you think that potentially he could go back to back?
He's got a live chance, but I think last year he won this race and there was no Flooring Porter in the picture. And it's a very, very different story with him in it. You know, Flooring Porter, I think, put himself head and shoulders above everything else in this division when he won at Cheltenham. The only concern I'd have over Flooring Porter, well, one bigger concern, one small concern. The big concern I would have would be huge effort backing up, you know, 23 days later. I don't think it's ideal for a horse that performed exceptionally well off the back of kind of a 3 month break on his last start. That's my major concern, if I had a bigger concern of it. My smaller concern would be, we know he canned himself pretty well at Cheltenham last time in front of a crowd, but again, Grand National Day at Aintree is a massive occasion, and just because he's handled it once doesn't mean he isn't liable to boil over again. Now, on the plus side, I think he's by far and away the most talented horse in the lineup here. And I struggle to look beyond it from that perspective. What I probably end up doing, I probably back Sire de Burle each way without Flora and Porter. I look back to his run in the pretense, it didn't happen for him, you know, and I think that sort of tacky ground, I think, was used as the excuse or one of the reasons behind the kind of poor performance in the pretemps final when he was sent off. One of the favourites, if not the favourite, 11-2 co-favourite, I should say, is looking at my notes here. Go back to his form last season. He's finishing within 3 lengths of Flora and Porter in the stairs. I think this track wouldn't be a problem to him either. I know he's been here before, but I think we haven't seen the very best of him yet this season. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets back on his favourite sort of decent ground here and if he ran a very, very big one. But I think regardless, Flora and Porter is the most talented horse. But Sire de Burle each way without him, that would probably be way into the race.
Okay, yeah, Graham, Mark suggesting that look, Flora and Porter is going to be difficult to beat, potentially in each way angle with Sire de Burle. Are you in the same opinion as the gents?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously going to be very difficult to beat. He's the right favourite. I priced him up slightly bigger than 15-2, 8-7-4. I mean, I had him in around 9-4, 5-2 chance, so he's a bit short compared to my own tissue. However, horses who have come on from the stayers got a very good record in this race. Horses who won the stayers, I think 5 since this race became a grade one in 2010, 5 of the 6 stayers hurdle winners that came here won. The only one to be beaten was Cole Harden, and he finished second. He's absolutely the best stayer around Florian Porter. He's going to be very difficult to beat. Time Hill, he loves the track, but looks about the right price. The one at a bigger price who caught my eye as possible each way against the front two was Thomas Darby, who ran really well behind Time Hill in the race last year. Obviously won first time out at Newbury. Ascot's a really stiff finish, and I think he's better on a flat track, Thomas Darby. So I'll forgive him his fourth there behind Champ over Christmas. And then last time out, he was on heavy ground at Haydock, so that's easily forgivable. So, you know, each way Thomas Darby against the top two for me. But I expect Florian Poulter will probably win.
Graham, with Thomas Darby potentially a good each way angle, but I think all of the panel seem to like the Florian Porter. I just think that potentially he should go and win this, and if he does go out in front and settles, he will be the winner. Let's go on to this next race, which is a Grade 3 handicap chase, the 4:15 over 3 mile 1 furlong. We see Sham Blue in here at a very short favourite, around 9-4 for a handicap chase. The rest of them are 13-2 and bigger. Graham, Sham Blue, he's back after a sixth in the Ryanair, obviously coming off a layoff in that race from the Charlie Hall. People were hoping off his mark he'd probably be running in the Ultima at Cheltenham, but the Skeltons did roll the dice and tried to take on the mighty Alaho. He's now in handicap company and 9-4, potentially a short price in an 18-runner field.
Yeah, he's an absolute bonkers price, isn't he? Obviously, all based on his run at Weatherby, when he was going to absolutely hack up in the Charlie Hall, would have recorded an RPR of 166. We've got him, and he's run off 148. So, you know, our own handicapper has got him nearly £20 in on that run. But he was pretty poor at Cheltenham, I thought. I couldn't back all at a short price, a big handicap like this, on the back of such a poor run. I'm going to back T Clipper, who... I fancy quite strongly at Cheltenham, ran very, very well there, finished fourth behind Corrick Grambler in the Ultima. He's running off a £1 lower mark, and he's got calls for me. Finished third in the race at Geoffroy, finished second last year, and Hometown Boy won, so that the same handicap hurdle as the first race. So I quite like T Clipper here, coming second time off a Windhoek, might improve for that first run back from this surgery at Cheltenham too.
Graham with T Clipper around 15-2. Leon, as we say, the favourites are potentially a silly price in here, but is he definitely worth taking on?
I think he is worth taking on, and I'm going to agree with Graham. We're doing that a bit here today on the podcast, but I just think it was a really, really good run at Cheltenham. And look, I'm not going to repeat the same points that Graham just did, but I do think the second run after the wind up, he's definitely got to be at least in the places. And hopefully he can go one better. I think he's still a great price at 15-2. So he's the one for me.
He's got an excellent chance for the Tom Lacey stable. And for yourself, Mark, in here, is Sham Blue potentially too short for you?
Come on, Mark, make it a hat-trick. Make it a hat-trick.
Well, do you know, I was so... Leon, I'd love to make it a hat-trick, but I have another Tom Lacey one as my selection here. I like Adramel. I found it in those handicap chases at Cheltenham, with the exception of an awesome display from Cora Grambler in the Ultima from off the pace, particularly in the plate, it was difficult to make ground from behind, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for that effort, and I like him stepping up a trip here. I think he's overpriced at 16-1 with a first time visor coming on. Tom Lacey's yard in decent form. Just think off 140. He might be one of his horses that wins one of these off this. And you know, this trip around here, I think that could suit him. I'd rather him on this sort of track around here than necessarily at Cheltenham over this sort of trip. So I'm looking forward to him, but I will say it was a toss-up between T-Clipper and Adramel for me. So maybe you'd want to be listening to the two boys and weigh in behind them with T-Clipper.
There we go. In the 4:15, potentially Tom Lacey holds all the keys. Mark with Admiral and Leon and Graham with T-Clipper at decent prices, taking on the favourite Sham Blue. Now, we are going to preview the National in the second part of the preview. Before we do that, we'll go into the race that ends the Aintree Festival. This is the 6:20. This is the National Hunt Flat Race. This is a Grade 2 over the extended 2 miles. And the market currently looking at 4-1, the field in here. Leon, I think there's a lot of ones next to a lot of these horses' names. This could potentially be a decent bumper.
Yeah, look, it certainly could be. And the one for me, a very tentative selection. Bumpers are not really the type of race I ever really get stuck into. However, I was impressed with Crambo, who won his bumper at Huntington for Fergal O'Brien. Just think at a bit of a price. I mean, I'm hoping we'd be looking at something around about the 14 or 16-1 mark. I was very taken with that performance, but as I said, it's a tentative selection in an open looking bumper. I might just have a little few quid each way just to give me an interest on the final race on Grand National Day.
Okay, Graham, what potentially, you know, catches your eye in here?
Yeah, I'll have a bet on the Henderson horse Swapped at quite a good price. He ran in a quite strong bumper at that Winter Millions meeting at Lingfield behind Our Jester. He was second in that race. They put up a lot of prize money for that bumper. And the German horse who was fancied for the Cheltenham bumper, Estacast, was third. The winner, Our Jester, came out and finished seventh behind Fasol Vega in the Cheltenham bumper on really bad ground. I don't think that was a bad run at all for Swapped. He finished the race very strongly. So, yeah, he's going to be a good price for a Henderson horse Swapped, and I wouldn't swap him for anyone.
Swapped 25-1 currently with Boyle Sports. And Mark, for yourself in the lucky last.
I like the look of Alan King's horse here. Ernest Gray won a point-to-point bumper at Punchestown in March of last year for Colin Bow. Was actually sent off favourite that occasion. Changed hands for 105 grand. Not massive money, I suppose, in the realm of kind of point-to-point money that we're seeing spent nowadays. But nice pedigree by Walk in the Park. And really one of the style of a nice horse, I thought, at Warwick on his first start over here. Beat a horse called Everyone's Game, trained by Charlie Longsden. That horse previously had gone and won a bumper at Doncaster in January. And even the third in a Twin Power, obviously well held in behind, but that had run previously for Paul Nichols on debut and finished second to, Milton Harris of Rosie Redrum. You know, I just think that there's a little bit of depth that you can make a case for what he achieved so far. Just looks at kind of an individual that should be suited to a test like this. You'd imagine they're going to go some lick in here. And I think he's got the tools to cope with that. So Ernest Gray for me, for Alan King to... We might move at Edwardstone earlier in the car, but I think he'll have a right chance in the bumper.
Ernest Gray, one of the unbeaten horses in the field for Mark. Leon, I know you've got to leave us for the second part of the preview, where we are going to be previewing the big one itself, the Grand National. But before you go, of course, you're going to have to give your thoughts on the 5:15 at Aintree. Who are you going to be siding with?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a fantastic race. We're going to be paying 7 places online on the Grand National. Snow Leopardus is, I mean, really, really challenging for favouritism and has gone favourite just ahead of Any Second Now and Delta Work. I think Any Second Now ran an absolute cracker 12 months ago. Very, very unlucky not to win the race. Good performance winning the Bobby Joe at Fairy House when he got up to beat Ascari at 10, who's another horse trained by Gordon Elliott, owned by the McNeil family, who could run a huge race as well in this year's Grand National. Going to be very hard for last year's winner, carrying top weight up 15 pounds compared to when Rachel Blackmore created history and rode Manila Times to win the 2021 Grand National. I'm sticking with Longhouse Poet. I thought it was a really, really good run to win the Tiestes at Goran Park back in late January. It was 3 miles 1. The ground wasn't as bad as we have seen on the Tiestes in years gone by. beat Franco Deport by 3/4 of a length. But I thought it was a really, really good performance. This horse has got some, he's got some class, in my opinion. I mean, if you go back through some of his victories, beat Run Wild Fred back on New Year's Eve in 2020 at Punchestown. Had a run over hurdles just to sharpen him up. Wasn't brilliant, but I think it was all about getting a bit of fitness. And I just like this horse. I really think he's got a bit of extra class. Martin Brazel is trainer, of course, trained number 6, Valverde, to win the race. And I think this could be another one that goes extremely close for Sean Mulryan, who, of course, is his owner. And around about 14 or 16 to 1, I still think there's a little bit of value there. But it's a very, very open-looking Grand National. And I think there's a number of horses you could make the case for. Another one who's been purchased by Mr. McManus, Enjoy Dallan. I'm sure he's going to be on many people's shortlist as well. Got a nice weight. Kieran Murphy's doing a tremendous job with a small string of horses. But for me, Longhouse Poet to do it for Martin Brazel, Dara O'Keefe and Sean Mulryan.
Longhouse Poet, 14 to 1 currently with Ball Sports, and Ball Sports paying 7 places on the National itself. But we are going to go in and preview a few of the runners in a little bit of detail. But thanks as always, Leon. Where are you going to be watching the race on Saturday?
Oh, I'll be at the course. We'll be hopefully cheering on an Irish winner. But look, it's just it's a fantastic race, fantastic spectacle. And look, everyone just hopes that all the jockeys, all the horses come back safe and sound, because that's the number one priority.
I think everyone echoes that. Yeah, thanks as always, Leon. We're going to be back in just a few seconds to go through the big one at Aintree.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the Postcast, where we're going to be going through the National and going for a few runners in the Grand National itself. 40 runners going to post for the world's most watched race. Plenty of the country will be having a bet on the race, so let's hope that we can find them a winner. We're going to go for a few of the key contenders, as well as maybe get a couple of selections from our guests. So there's probably only one place to start with regards to the National. It's one of the favourites in here, 8-1. This is Snow Leopard Des. Now, Graham, she's been well supported for the race. Obviously, the story behind her is incredible. She had a 2-year break. Not just that, during that 2-year break, she had a foal. She then came back, won the Beecher over the National fence in December. And I think she's becoming the people's horse.
Yeah. She's a great horse, and she jumps well and very, very tough. Although it was great, Aidan Coleman yesterday saying he'd rather have a hardy woman than a hardy bloke. And this Snow Leopardess really is a hardy woman. She really is tough and genuine, stays very well. She's almost certain to give you a good run for your money, because she went round the course in December for the Beecher Chase and produced, I think, one of the performances of the season to beat Hill 16. And on the figures that I have, I think that probably is a stronger race than last year's Grand National, a stronger piece of form. So Snow Leopard Des has been trained for the race since, obviously, and has run only once at Exeter when she won tidily a mare's chase, entitled to win that race at the weights. So I had a slight concern that Graham was quite testing that day at Exeter, and Exeter also is a very, very stiff track. It's almost a vertical finish, and I don't like horses who are coming in off heavy ground preps. And although it says soft in the official ground description, the times would suggest that it was a little bit more testing than that. So that would be my slight concern with Snow Leopard Des coming in off such a what might have been a harder race than it looked at Exeter. But for me, she's still probably the most likely winner of the race.
Okay, Mark, do you have any concern about Snow Leopard Des potentially staying the trip?
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I'd have a concern maybe just that this is such a different test to the Beecher, and I think the nature of how the race is going to unfold will be different to the Beecher. Obviously, she's at the right end of the weights, and that gives her a right chance, but I just feel she might be a little bit vulnerable to something with a little bit more class. And you know, I'd absolutely love to see her go and do it. I think it'd be the story that would, you know, give the race a massive, massive platform to reach the right page of the paper on Sunday morning. But I don't quite see it, to be honest. At the prices, I'd be keen to take her on. I think her price factors in the public appeal and wanting this to happen, to be quite honest. I think she'll run well, but I think she'll find a couple too good.
Completely agree with you there. With regards to the class horse in the race, potentially this comes in the way of Delta Work. The cross-country winner spoilt the Tiger Roll party that day. Jack Kennedy's always been a big fan of this horse. I think they've always thought that this horse was potentially a Gold Cup type earlier in his career. Now looking at potentially a cross-country, you know, runner for next year as well. But Gordon Elliott seems to have a tendency to like to send cross-country winners to the National, and potentially I actually think he's the rightful favourite in him, Mark.
I'm with you totally. I mean, this horse has so much class, you know, and I don't think anybody gets a tune out of him jumping-wise like Jack Kennedy does. Even go back through his form in those good, you know, Savills, Chases, your Irish Gold Cups, you know, you look back and you'll see some of the blips maybe in his career have come. Now, Davy Russell has got a tune out as well in the past. I'm not trying to knock other riders, but just Jack particularly gels with this fella. And what really struck me, for all that we can't say the cross country was an exceptional piece of form by any means, because beyond Tiger Roll, it was disappointing. But for any horse to go to Cheltenham for their first start in the cross country chase and jump like he did, perform like he did, and win, I think that was absolutely, it was seriously impressive, because typically speaking, even the best cross country trainers out there, in the Bulls of the world, even Gordon, a lot of the time they always say that, you know, they need one run over there. They need to have an experience of a race like that over there. Now, I'll take it, the point that Delta Work did go and school at the track at Cheltenham. But to do what he did, I was still nonetheless very, very impressed. And, you know, if he produces a similar performance in terms of jumping, I think he will win. But that's a big if, because he can occasionally throw in a stinker. And that's the one thing when you're back in Delta Work, you might have to hold on for dear life at one stage in the race. Hopefully just one, maybe. But if he was to put in a blemish for a round, I think he is the most likely winner of the Grand National. But I think as well, Gordon Elliott, you can trust in his record in the race. You know, you can trust in the path that they've taken. They know what it takes, as you've said, to get a horse from the cross country to here. Even we saw Cause of Causes, you know, coming from the Cheltenham layoff perspective. You know, they know how to balance that time frame pretty well. I'd be confident of that. No, he's the most likely winner of the National for me. For all that, you have a slight caveat that if he does, maybe give you the heebie-jeebies in the edge of your seat at some stage.
Jack Kennedy certainly does get an excellent tune out of Delta Work. And Ted Walsh, in an interview, I think I saw him or heard him say that the winner of the National will be the one that finishes in front of Delta Work. Graham, can you see why?
Yeah, Kanyo's obviously got the back class, hasn't he? Very, very good horse, good novice chaser, wasn't he? And not far off Gold Club class. I thought he was entitled to win the race at Cheltenham on form. I thought that he's sixth in the Irish Gold Cup. A reproduction of that would probably be good enough. And it was. And I was at Cheltenham that day on the Wednesday. Never been to Cheltenham Festival and got so wet in my whole life.
I was going to say, I've been to lots of festivals.
It was terrible weather, wasn't it, Mark? I mean, that day it absolutely hacked it down with rain all day from start to finish. My feet were soaked through, and again, Delta Work, hard race on really testing ground coming into the Grand National. So not for me on that score.
Okay, yeah, a few concerns for Graham with regards to Delta Work, and the weather's really varying over at Aintree, seeing it sort of the sun coming out, the wind's there, the rain's there. We've had a bit of everything. We'll go into two of the leading JP hopes in here, Graham. I'll let you discuss both at the same time, but we've got Any Second Now, who finished third in last year's race, and Manella Times, who's obviously last year's winner, carrying top weight, which may be a difficult task. What do we make of their chances?
Yeah, I fancy Any Second Now we'll beat Manella Times off last year's form, of course. Manella Times won the race. Any Second Now was third, but a big swing in the weights, isn't there, this time around? And I think that might be enough for Any Second Now to reverse that form. And of course, Manella Times run two absolutely shocking races this season, albeit the fact that she was probably, Manella Times was probably just being primed for this race. So Henry de Bromhead has done it time and time again, bringing horses back. Would be a slight concern, though, that Manella Times hasn't shown any form at all this season. Any Second Now, of course, completely the opposite, comes in fantastic form. Ted Walsh has won the National before, of course, and I think that's one of the best pieces of recent form on offer. Any Second Now, that victory last time out over Ascaria 10 at Fairy House. In the Bobby Joe again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it was very testing ground that day. Coming in off I don't like horses coming in off a heavy ground prep in really top races like this, and that would be a slight concern for one at quite a short price. But yeah, I mean, if any second now turns up, runs to the same form that he did at Fairy House, I think he's going to be very difficult to beat.
It's not going to be easy for some of these horses, the ones like Graham mentioned, coming in off a heavy ground prep. Mark, with regards to some of the other times, it'd be some story to see Rachel go and do it again, but it's going to be difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I get the impression, you know, just reading between the lines of what's kind of been said about him, that, he has gradually been coming back. But I would have felt personally watching last year's National that it was the sort of a performance that could leave a mark on a horse. Now, Henry is an absolute gem at getting these horses back and swinging again in sweet. I would have utmost confidence in Henry's ability to get this horse right, but weights wise purely as well. I mean, you win it off 1.46 last year, carrying 10.3. Now you're up 11.10, carrying 1.61. It's a huge ask, I think. I'm actually more interested in the JP horses. I think NJ Dallin would run really, really well. You'll know your fate probably over the first five or six fences with him, because it's a case to me of whether if he takes to this and if he gets, not even fences because he will jump, but if he's able to lie up with the pace is the big question mark. If he's able to be in that first 15 and comfortably kind of stay there in the first circuit, I don't think there's any horse that will be coming home as strong as NJ Dallin come the final circuit. The one angle that would give you encouragement for his ability to maybe travel with them is that he wore a tongue tie and blinkers in the Irish Grand National when third, Run Wild Fred was second. He's actually 12 pounds better off at Run Wild Fred here than he was then. And now, all season long, he's been without those tongue tie and blinkers. Now they come back on for the first time since. Just in the visors, you get the impression maybe that he wasn't quite catching horses maybe as easily, or wasn't quite, he was coming off the bridle a little bit more. He was picking up maybe as horses were going by him, but just with the smaller cups, that might just help him along a little bit better to travel a little bit more sweetly. And overall, you look at his preparation the whole season, the way it's gone for him, it's been all about protecting his mark pretty much, it seems. He's been running over hurdles, off a lower mark, and he's just not a hurdler. Watch him in the race at Leopardstown last time, he just never enjoyed it, but he still showed serious toughness, serious stamina to keep plugging away and to put himself in with a chance. I think he was fifth in the end, but he might have been 13th in the straight. It was a serious finishing effort. Running the Paddy Power at Christmas was really, really nice. It got him the necessary pounds to be guaranteed a run, and I just love his profile. The fact Jeff McManus has got on board would be a sign of confidence you could take too. And Kieran Murphy, a guy that has handled Grand National winners in the past, or had an idea of it, not necessarily trained himself, but he would have done Jigginstown House Studs pre-training work, and the likes of Rule the World, and other horses. Tiger O would have been in his care previously before going to Gordon for during the summer breaks, etc. This guy knows the time of day, and I just like the way he's been brought along, and his age, even, he's at the right end of a 10th zone 11. I see. If I knew he'd travel in the first half of the race, he'd nearly be my selection. But it's just those first six or seven fences. He gets in the back foot. It's not easy here. I watched the last eight or nine Nationals, and with the exception of one for Arthur, who yo-yos through the field somewhat, you really do need to nearly get into that first half of the field, first 15, keep a consistent position. And, the race really just unfolds there from kind of Valentine's onwards. It just begins to that portion from Valentine's to two out is just absolutely key. And, the winner doesn't tend to be in front, jumping the second last, but they're nearly always in front of the last. They have something to aim at between those last two fences. So I just think if NJ Dallin can get himself a position early on, he'd run a very, very big one. But that's the big if. I just think Delta Work is probably, he has the class to go well, even on better ground around Leopardstown and Irish Gold Cups, etc. That's what just weighs it to me. For odds, there's a big weight difference between the two.
NJ Dallin currently 14-1. Mark giving an excellent case for NJ Dallin. We'll discuss just a couple more of the leading hopes, gents, before getting your selections. Graham Eclair Cerf, this is an interesting one. He snuck in on Thursday, gets the run, and I'm sure a lot of people will be looking at his last run behind last weekend Scottish National winner, Win My Wings, for Christian Williams. He was in the Ida second by, I think it was just under two lengths that day. It's going to be, I think a lot of people are having a go with this horse, about 33-1 at the start of the week, and seeing this horse get in, shortening up all the time to around 12-1, he's got a right chance, hasn't he?
Yeah, the Win My Wing form was real franked, wasn't it, in the Scottish Grand National. Having said that, Win My Wings was just so amazing. It was incredible. I'm not sure that we even saw the same Win My Wings that won the Ida turn up there. I think Win My Wings might well have improved significantly since that run, just on the way that she won the Scottish National. Of course, the Clear Surf really was the only one to give Win My Wings a race at Newcastle, but at least Clear Surf, you know, which isn't coming in off a really testing ground prep. You know, the ground was quite decent that day at the Ida, and it's been improving all season. But you would say with a Clear Surf, he's one of the types who doesn't really have a class angle. You know, sometimes most Grand National winners have a little bit of class, a little bit of back class, and he's just a sort of dour staying type who I just wonder whether he's got the, you know, the class that you need to hold a position in this race. I know he is a front runner, but I always feel in the National you just need a horse that has got that ability to travel up with the pace in a really strong race, and I wonder if he will be able to do it. We'll see.
Yeah, Clear Surf, it'd be an excellent story for Emma Lavelle. She can go and do it. But, you know, with regards, like Graham said, potentially hasn't really got the full class for this race here, but carrying a nice weight in the National, a lot of people's fancy a Clear Surf. Now, the only other couple that I wanted to mention, gents, Longhouse Pert was one of them, along with Fiddler on the Roof. Mark, Leon made a great case for Longhouse Poet. With regards to this horse, obviously Gordon Elliott's actually used the Boyne before going to the National. I think with Tyrell they went Boyne cross-country National. Martin Brazel's done a similar thing. He's gone to the Boyne, obviously hasn't run the cross-country, but he comes straight to the National here.
Yeah, and lovely profile again. He's, you know, that type of horse that just looks to suit the modern National, travels really well. You know, I'd be interested to see how he takes these fences. That's really my slight hang up just now. Like, obviously it's an unknown for a lot of them, but just to, you know, I'd like to see him getting daylight. I wouldn't like to see him getting bullied or pushed early on. And, you know, typically speaking, horses who start down the kind of middle of the track in the National, rather than be, you know, in the last decade or so, let's say, rather than be necessarily over towards a rail on the outer or the inner, that seems to kind of work. And I don't know necessarily, I think he likes some daylight, and, you know, again, if he takes to it, gets into a rhythm, that's fair enough. And, you know, he's got all the ability to travel. He's got the thing that NJ Dallin doesn't have in terms of, you know, well, he'll just cruise through. And, you know, you look at Tiger all the way, he won the National. You look at Minetta Times, won the National. You know, they have a little bit of a gear. This guy has a gear as well. So, yeah, I could definitely see the case for him. He probably still is value at his current price. He might be one of those that you could see shortening up on the day. Just, you know, guy Martin Brazel, who we know has won the race with number 6 Valverde in the past. You know, you just get the vibes in that camp that they are confident he's going to run a really big one. And just one other one, I suppose, at a big price, just from my point of view, the last one I can flag, you can make a case for so many of them. But I think Freewheeling Dylan might just be a little bit overpriced at 50s or 66 to 1. Now, I'm not in any way saying he's going to win the race, but I just think he might be a little bit of a forgotten horse. Like last year, the Irish National, okay, 150 to 1, biggest price Irish National winner of all time. Call it a fluke if you want. I do appreciate that on that day, you needed to be handy. You know, it was nearly like, you know, to get NJ Dallin and Run Wild Fred, latest exhibition, were all in kind of the first 6 or 7, and the winner, Freewheeling Dylan, and they kind of remained in those spots. So I do get that, and his recent form hasn't been super, but Dermot McLaughlin has been training him for one day, and it's been this day. So, you know, I'm willing to bank on that we're going to see a much improved version of this horse. We'll need to, but I think we'll see this horse really primed. Dermot McLaughlin mightn't be a household name to everybody in Britain, but he is a very, very capable guy when he gets the right materials. And, you know, I've seen him turn some of these horses in the past. You know, Vix Canvas, obviously, is the one that's ran huge from here, the big price in the past, too. I just wouldn't rule out this fella running well. And again, he has that pace early on to lie up with them. He just seems to keep galloping forever. Really accurate jumper. You know, will enjoy if the ground is decent. I just think he ticks enough boxes. And he's down the right hand of the weights. He's 10 stone 10. You know, I just like the overall profile. I'm not saying he's going to win. He's not my overall selection. But I could see him showing up well and maybe catching into that place area. Again, first 4 fences, first 5 fences, key for him. If he doesn't like it, if he still game over. But if he was to get into a rhythm and enjoy himself, I could really see him running well.
As Mark says, Longhouse Pert, he's probably been planned and primed for this race. But a big mention there for Freewheeling Dylan, who's 40 to 1 currently for the race. Potentially a good one if you're taking those extra places, 7 places with Boyle Sports. Graham, the only other two that I wanted to mention before I get both your selections for the race will be Fiddler on the Roof and Iscariah 10. They're the ones that are shorter than 20 to 1. What do we make of those two?
Yeah, I mean, both of them tick the box that I said earlier, Sam. Both coming in off really testing ground preps. Obviously, Scoria 10 seconds or any second now. I'd be more worried about Fiddler on the Roof, who had a really hard race against Fortescue on very testing ground at Ascot last time. You know, I mean, it's solid enough form, but I remember that race well. And Fiddler on the Roof was looking like he was going to win, and they were absolutely walking up the running. And Fortescue, who's also in this race, stayed on very, very powerfully to beat them on the running. And I just couldn't have horse running in a Grand National off such a hard race for me. Escaria 10 maybe in any second now. Yeah, I mean, it was testing ground that day. Maybe they were both being prepped for this race, so it's possible to argue maybe they didn't have quite such a tough time. But whether it turns, you know, I'm either going to be right or wrong. But when I looked at this race, I looked at it and looked at all those at the top of the market, and about 9, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them had hard races on testing ground last time, and that immediately made me think that there could be an upset.
Yeah, potentially. A lot of these have had some hard tests. And Gordon Elliott's obviously got an excellent squad going into the race. And I think the Tizards are fairly confident with regards to Fiddler on the Roof with this one. Now, let's get into your selections. Graham, we'll start with you, because you've just mentioned there that potentially a few of these at the top of the market could be worth taking on. Give us a couple. Hopefully you've got one a bit like Mark did at a juicy price.
Yeah, I've got a few. I'll be having a few pot shots at big prices. Good boy, Bobby, is one who really interests me. He didn't have too hard a race last time out at Kempton. He was seventh behind Cap du Nord, who, of course, came out and ran very well when second behind Win My Wings in the Scottish Grand National. He looked a very strong stayer, Good Boy Bobby, when he won the Roland Merrick at Wetherby. I thought he shaped like a real Grand National horse that day. Nigel Twiston Davis knows what it takes to win the Grand National. He's done it plenty of times before. I think Good Boy Bobby's a really good each-way bet with the sort of places that you're going to get on offer here, around about 30, 40 to 1, somewhere in that mark. The other one I like is an Irish trained horse called Death Duty, who ran very well at Cheltenham in the race which Corrac Rambler won, the Ultima. I obviously have tipped T Clipper, who finished fourth in that race to win the 3 mile handicap earlier on the card. Death Duty won the Grand National Trial at Punchestown, so we know he stays very well. He's a very consistent type of horse, Death Duty. I'm not sure if he's got the class to win this race. He kind of comes into the same category as we were talking about with a Clare Surf. You know, does he really have the back class to win it? But he definitely stays well enough to be placed. And he very rarely runs a bad race. I mean, he's been running in big field handicap chases all season and has finished in single figures every time, including winning a big one. And just one throwing an absolute huge price that I'm going to back 100 to 1 that I think is Disa Abba, Philip Hobbs's runner, another very consistent horse who stays very, very well. Finished second behind Kashari in handicap hurdle here early in the season, and second in two really strong stamina sapping races at Sandown since. I could see him running really well at a massive price. So yeah, I mean, they're my three against the field: Death Duty, Disa Abba, and Good Boy Bobby.
Yeah, Good Boy Bobby 25 to 1, Death Duty 40 to 1, and Daishabo 66 to 1. Mark, we'll quickly come to you just to give us a couple of your selections.
Yeah, I'm sweet on Delta Work. He'll be my number one. I'd say NJ Dallin, probably just my number two, although, you know, it's a deal my concern over the early in the race, but I think he will go close if he handles it. And I nearly say Freewheel and Dillon for the third spot. Look, you can make a case here. Ascari attends to the World, Longhouse Poets, I can easily see them showing up well. I could easily see them going very close. But look, I think that without having wearing my green, white and gold cap here, I think overall the Irish just look to have quite a strong hand. You know, you go back last year, obviously, I think it was 10 of the first 11 home, and even in the years prior to that, there had been, you know, 4 of the first 6 home on a couple of occasions, maybe even 5 of the first 6 on one of the occasions, or 4 of the first 5. You know, there, I think for all of the handicap chases in Cheltenham really were dominated by the British, I think this is a race where Ireland will have a strong hand. And yeah, Delta Work is my one, hopefully to bring home the bacon.
Okay, Delta Work, Enjoy Dallin, and Freewheeling Dillon for Mark. I actually fancy Delta Work in here as well, but I also accrue Leon. I think Longhouse Poets probably got a really, really good chance in here. Hopefully we've given you a good insight into a few of the leading chances in the National, and who knows, our guest today may have found you a winner in it. Now, we'll be back in just a few seconds to get our panel's naps of the weekend.
Are you football crazy? then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Postcast after the gents have given their selections for the National. It's now time to get their naps of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Hopefully they come from Aintree. They may come from elsewhere, but I'm sure they're probably going to come from Aintree. Mark, who's your nap of the weekend?
We shall take a flyer in the bumper. I just really like the impression that I got from Alan King's horse when he won first him up over here. And I'm going to take a swing in the bumper at Aintree, which the time is the 6:20. Well, I was just scrolling up my notes here. It's Ernest Gray. We'll have a swing at him.
Okay, Ernest Gray, 5-1, marks a nap in the bumper at the last of the Aintree Festival. And Graham, for yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to go with T-Clipper in the 4:15.
Okay, T-Clipper around 15-2 in that race there. So that is the gents' naps of the weekend. And that's it. And thanks for listening to the Postcast. Maddie's going to be back on Monday to review all the action from the Aintree Festival. Once again, thanks for tuning in. If you are having a bet this weekend, do be lucky on the National, but do remember to gamble responsibly.